This talk is about the universal perspective. More in particular, it's about some of the attributes and qualities of the universal perspective. On the websites that you visit, including the spirituallearning.com and the who.org, there are statements made that the teachings or the process, the work, is from the universal perspective. In the emails that are sent out regarding some of the classes or meetings that are offered here through this means, is usually the statement, the teachings or the class is offered from the universal perspective. So what is this universal perspective? Words themselves don't and can't adequately explain or convey what that is. That's a matter of realization and experience. But words can point the way and give it a little sense and feel for what it is. Universal perspective can be described as a height that is reached through all the different paths, through realization and becoming, that cuts across all those boundaries and is common to experience, to higher experience, and it is a viewpoint, which is why I use the term perspective. It's what one actually sees and experiences, feels, senses, knows is correct and true and real. It's one of those points or positions of commonality that all the different people, through all the different means and ways, they come to. Now, this is eventually. And if you read the writings, hear the works, hear the teachings, listen to them closely, of people who have reached those levels, of the higher levels of all the different traditions and paths, which eventually they personally have come to the way and then have gone further and climbed higher and have reached that level of unity, of oneness, of being, they'll all express it in essentially the same manners and terms. Now, they may use different words, and they may focus one way a little bit more strongly than another way. They may couch it in the terms of the particular path, but essentially they're saying the same thing. And it's this level of experience and realization that comes from rising higher, comes from the purification of self, comes from the melding and uniting of one's being in their larger being that exists. It's a perspective that comes as a result of rising high to that level of unity. And from there, it also grows and deepens and expands more and more. So if we were to say the universal perspective has this particular quality or that particular quality, and leave it at that, and then we're shortchanging, in a sense. And even when we try to describe it and point to some of the attributes, we're really just picking out some little parts. Perhaps the best way to express it would be in the presence of somebody who knows it and through their own experience. And at that point, the attunement is of heart and breath, love and light. The attunement is of connecting to and becoming of that perspective. And this is one of the purposes for a living guide assisting in that process, that it provides a means to connect to and take on that perspective. So it's one of realization, one of experience. And it is the experience and realization that we point toward, not the rote, not the method, not the means, and certainly not the words which convey some of these tones or notes of the symphony. But here's a good way to convey and express some of these qualities through statements. The first 10 I'm going to read are from Inayat Khan. Inayat Khan was a Sufi teacher, or a realized mystic, realized being, who brought the Sufic teachings to the West approximately 100 years ago. He codified or put together a list of different perspectives and attributes of that he considered to be Sufi thoughts. And these then could act as contemplations, as keystones, points to relate to. They're perspectives. They are examples of his experience and realization of the universal being. And it is an expression of the universal perspective. Now, these were more at one time. There were 11 or 12 or 13, and then he cut them down, whittled them down to 10, apparently he thought was a better number for working, felt would work better within the framework, context of what he was trying to convey. And they give a good sense of what the perspective is. Now, at a later point, some years ago, there were a couple people that I know, Shems and Zia, who wrote combined some meditations or contemplations that go along with each one of these. Several years ago, I also wrote some that go along with each one of these statements. So you can, by attuning and using the breaths, particular breaths on an in-breath, an out-breath, or a held breath, person can, through concentration and focus, experience a little bit of these qualities and senses. And the more they do it, the more that one would work with it, then the more typically this would unfold. But it's actually the unfolding of heart and the guiding spirit that is within oneself. It's the unfolding of that knowing that exists within oneself that both leads one toward that universal realization perspective, and later conveys it outwardly through one's own actions and attitudes. Statements, ways of interrelating with other people, ways of relating to the paths, these all come into focus through the universal perspective. It's as the higher one rises, the more one can see in the horizon. And so the universal perspective may be considered as climbing a mountain and looking over the valley and the lands and seeing the trees and the forests. And if one is immersed in them down in the valley, one could say, well, all these different trees are different and separate. Yes, they are. And from the universal perspective, one, or higher on the mountain, one will look down and say, there are many trees, but they all make up one forest. There is one forest that shows itself in many trees. So I'm going to read these 10 statements from Inayat Khan, and then following that I'm going to read some things that I've written called 21 Themes for Contemplation. Now, there are only 20 that I'm going to read because I'm looking at a file that contains that, but I think there's a 21st somewhere, and I'll have to dig it up, and you'll just simply have to bear with me on that point. From Inayat Khan, these will give a sense of his perspective and what he was trying to convey 100 years ago or so, not quite that long ago, to the people he was working with, getting a sense and structure. The themes for contemplation that I wrote are used in a similar manner, but they are more open to all people. They were given and they're offered as work that people can use specifically as contemplations, not, we'll say, limited within the framework of Sufi thoughts. Of course, if you were to take Sufi work and from the perspective of Inayat Khan, then you would say that it is of the real, it's the mystic realization, it's the realization of self and what exists. So here they are, and they give you a good sense and feel of some of the qualities and attributes that one perceives and looks out at and sees the world within this framework. There's one God from Inayat Khan, 1 through 10. There is one God, the eternal, the only being. None exists save God. 2. There is one master, the guiding spirit of all souls who constantly leads all followers toward the light. 3. There is one holy book, the sacred manuscript of nature, the only scripture that can enlighten the reader. 4. There is one religion, the unswerving progress in the right direction toward the ideal, which fulfills the life's purpose of every soul. 5. There is one law, the law of reciprocity, which can be observed by a selfless conscience together with a sense of awakened justice. 6. There is one family, the human family, which unites the children of earth indiscriminately in the parenthood of God. 7. There is one moral principle, the love which springs forth from a willing heart, surrendered in service to God and humanity, and which blooms in deeds of beneficence. 8. There is one object of praise, the beauty which uplifts the heart of its worshipper through all aspects from the seen to the unseen. 9. There is one truth, the true knowledge of our being within and without, which is the essence of wisdom. 10. There is one path, the effacement of the limited self in the unlimited, which raises the mortal to immortality, in which resides all perfection. And as I say, there are practices that go along that are associated with each one of these thoughts or sayings, and they can be experienced or touched on more, but they come as a result of a natural unfolding of the soul and heart from this perspective of unity. And we'll go into this process a little bit more through the discussion of practices and the path and things that we do to approach the larger process of realization that experience. Things that I've written under the title of Themes for Contemplation. 1. There is one being of which all is made and to which all returns. 2. There is one personality from which comes a multitude of faces. 3. There is one teacher, life itself. 4. There is one book of knowledge. It is nature through which we are able to learn. 5. There is one religion, the heart and breath of love. 6. There is one guiding spirit, that living body of breath formed by the faces of one being. 7. There is one humanity, the being formed of the souls of that one being, all of that one body. There is one being which nurtures and removes that which is. There is one message, that of love and light. There is one true guide, that breath of love which constantly speaks through the heart. There is one true path. It is the giving away of self-identity toward the real. There is one way. It is beyond separateness to union and then expansion. There is one being united with all, of which one is. 14. There is one work, the expression of love, light, and breath. 15. There is one true knowledge, the knowing of the heart. 16. There is one heart, which is reflected in the hearts of all. 17. There is one perspective of heart above the separate. It is of that which is. 18. Union is the way to one. 19. Consideration of union is not it. 20. One breath, one life, one light, one love, one being. It is of this that one becomes once more. Now these are offered as contemplations, suggestions to dwell upon, to let bubble to the surface, to let percolate within oneself, and to point toward. So all of this together gives little sense of what I mean when I write the teaching or the meeting or the process or the work is offered from the universal perspective. It's that sense of unity, of life, being, and the process above separateness of paths or religions, but dwells within the heart of all beings and of which all are. And it's of this that we try to convey through all the work, and of this that one strives for and reaches toward as stepping stones toward the realization of oneself and the greater being.